It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our present study is in the book of John. And if at all possible, I would ask you to have your Bible open to John chapter 2. And we're going through that chapter right now in the book of John. And I would remind you that I do use the Word of God, the King James Bible. If I read something that doesn't match what you're reading in your Bible, that means you're not using the King James Bible. My recommendation to you is that you get a King James Bible because it is the Word of God. Well, we're in chapter 2 of the book of John, and we just got through reading about how that Christ went into the temple and cleansed it. He ran people out of there who used the house of God to make money. And we pick up with verse 18, where then answered the Jews and said unto him, that's unto Christ, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Well, people back in the Old Testament, we read how that the house of God, the temple was built and all of this, and how that the Jews looked for different things. They looked for signs. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Bible tells us that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, if you're looking for the signs of Christ, if you're looking for something extraordinary as a sign from God that you should be saved or that you should be doing something, you must be a Jew. You say, well, why would you say that? Because the Jews require a sign according to the Word of God. They look for signs. But the Bible goes on to say there's no sign going to be given except that of Jonas. Well, what was Jonah? What happened to Jonah? He was 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, the whale's belly, whatever you want to call that fish that swallowed him. He was there 3 days, three nights, and he came out. And that's the sign that's the only sign that Jesus Christ is going to give to anyone, is that he was crucified, buried. He was there 3 days and three nights, crucified, buried 3 days and three nights, and then he rose from the grave. That's the sign. That's the only sign that he's going to give was that of Jonas, that he was there 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And that was the sign that Jesus was going to come out after 3 days and three nights. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus Christ would come out of the grave in 3 days. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Well, they didn't see. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They thought he was talking about the physical temple that stood there. He was talking about the temple of his body, according to verse 21, the physical temple of his body. Verse 21 says, but he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You see, all along, these disciples followed Jesus. And these were apostles. They followed Jesus. And as they watched him, they understood that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was God, that he was the Savior. And as they watched him, they saw the scripture being fulfilled. Now, many of them knew the Old Testament. They'd read it. Some of them had. Some of them were acquainted with the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And as they walked with Jesus, they saw these prophecies unfolded before them. The scripture was fulfilled. Verse 23 goes on to say of chapter 2, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now, God allowed this to take place so that individuals would see and understand that Jesus was God, that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior, and they got saved. And verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And what was in man is in man today. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that when you get saved, you're not out of this body. This body is sin. That's the reason the body has to die. And Jesus knows and he knew that man was sinful. That's the reason he came to this earth. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. Every individual who's born into this world is born into this world lost. Now, I'm not saying that babies are lost. Babies are not going to die and go to hell. But those people, when they're born into this world, we are born in innocence, shall I say. And then as the age of accountability takes place, then each person is responsible for his or her own destiny, his or her own place in heaven or in hell. And God has made a way of escape hell, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's who we're reading about here. And the people who walked with him, they saw him doing these things, and they witnessed what had taken place in his life, because his life showed that he was the Messiah. And I wonder, if you've been saved, I wonder if your life is showing the Messiah. I wonder if your life is one who exalts Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we become a new person when we've trusted Jesus as Savior. Oh, we're still in this body. But the Bible says the real person has changed. The real person has taken on the identity of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I say the identity, I mean that you are a representation. You are not the light itself, but you are a reflector of the light of Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God lives within you. You need to be living for him if you've been saved, and you need to tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Well, notice in chapter 3 now, we read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Well, Nicodemus, as we study, we find that Nicodemus was a very important man. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And as we look at Nicodemus as a ruler of the Jews and a Pharisee, we also see that he was a teacher. He was one who was looked up to as one who knew about the scriptures. He knew about the coming Messiah. Well, he's supposed to. He knew. And he was curious here because there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus. He was curious. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now Nicodemus recognized something in Jesus. He recognized something different. Jesus was different from other men. He was one who was actually performing miracles. He was going about doing good, and he was doing the things that God wanted him to do, God the Father. And Nicodemus recognized this, and I believe the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit had spoken to Nicodemus, and he imparted some truths to him, and some of those truths involved Jesus Christ. Verse 3 goes on to say, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus saw the physical. He saw Jesus Christ in the flesh. He didn't recognize him as God at this time because Jesus said there's only one way to heaven, and that is you must be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't mince words with this man. He said, you've got to be born again if you're going to go to heaven. You may have seen a lot of things. You may have heard of a lot of things about me. You may have seen or heard a lot of about the miracles that were performed. But unless you're born again, you're not going to go to heaven. Nicodemus in verse 4 saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus, once again, is thinking of the physical. He's thinking humanly. And possibly if it had been one of us, we would have maybe have asked the same question. How can a person be born again? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus didn't leave him in darkness because he answered in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Well, a casual reading of John chapter 3 and verse 6 and verse 5, we read that word water, it might lead some people to believe that you must be baptized in order to be saved. Well, that's not what this verse is speaking of. If you go back to Numbers chapter 20, and especially verses 8 through 13, you'll read about water. Water that came out of a rock. And if you go to chapter 4, then we're going there, Lord's will, and we're going to see more about water. This verse in chapter 3 of John, verse 5, is not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the living water. We're going to see where that living water comes from. It says, born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit of God touches a person's heart. The Spirit of God convicts a person. The Spirit of God speaks to an individual and says, you must be born again. You've got to do something different if you want to go to heaven. Doing something different means that you are willing to go God's way, that you are willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you do that, the Spirit of God, when you respond to the Spirit of God, it's either going to be, yes, I'm going to trust Jesus as my Savior, I'm willing to go His way, or you're going to say, no, I'm going to go my way. Well, going your way may seem right to you, but the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you want to go to heaven, you must go God's way. God speaks to our heart through the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus came to Christ and he wanted to know what he could do to go to heaven. Jesus spoke to him, said, you must be born again. As we study and we go into chapter 4, we're going to look at the living water. It's not speaking of water baptism, speaking of living water that Jesus Christ is willing to give to the person, living water. A person must have water to live in this life, and you must have the living water in order to live with Jesus in the life that is yet to come, the eternal life that Jesus Christ has promised. Nicodemus wanted to have that water. He wanted to have the water of life, and therefore he came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must go God's way. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to go God's way. God said you must be born again. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God. Receive him today if you've never done that. Receive Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Realize you can't save yourself, that you need him in order to go to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Father, I pray now that you would help us to understand your scripture as we study it, as we look at it. And we ask you, Lord, to guide our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.